Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, The Message and the Messengers.
Our first lesson comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning at verse 21. Let's listen to God's word for us. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in, who brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see, who created these? He who brings out their hosts and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you ask, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of our Lord.
We have been taking our time reading through the book of Romans until last week, that is, when last week we did kind of a flyover of chapters 9, 10, and 11. As Paul got into a conversation, we might even have called it a debate with himself, about God's election and Israel's unbelief, resulting finally in what he calls a mystery. Now, I told you that rather than getting into that debate with him, I was going to leave those chapters to your own study and reflection. And I meant that. But that being said, I would like for us to look at a beautiful little passage of scripture in Romans chapter 10. So let's listen together to Romans 10, verses 5 through 21. This is God's word to us. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified. One confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is the Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all have obeyed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed your message? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. But I ask, have you not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. Again I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God, and let us pray. Lord, thank you for the gift of this day. We do pray your mercies. We pray for David today. Ask peace and blessing, healing for him. We thank you for the opportunity that we have now to sit beneath the teaching of your word, and so would pray that this word would live in us and within us, that we might in turn live in and within you. For it is Christ, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Reading this passage, I'm reminded of a little game we play with our children and now grandchildren called Warmer and Colder. I'm sure you've played this game. You see something they don't see, and then as they go searching for it, you say warmer or colder as they get closer or farther from it. The game is fun, and I'll liken it now to an understanding of the life of faith. You see, there are both finders and seekers, for all of us are continually in a process of getting either warmer or colder. We often think of faith as being a possession, as something that we have or do not have, like I have a car or I don't have a car. But that's somewhat misleading in the life of faith, because faith is more like a relationship, which rather than being fixed and static, either I have it or I don't have it, it is more fluid and dynamic. That is, I am continually moving in and out, closer and farther, warmer and colder. I was recently in a conversation with someone, and it was likely one of you, although I apologize, I don't quite remember who I was visiting with, but he said, or maybe she said, that she finds it strange that sometimes she feels very close and intimate with God, and then there are other times when suddenly or gradually he or she feels removed and at a distance. They found that interesting, curious, wondered why that happened. Where it makes perfect sense to me, since I think of faith as being dynamic rather than static, ever changing rather than fixed, being more like a relationship than it is a possession. I think it's for that reason that many of us can relate to the father in the Gospels who brings his young son to Jesus to be healed, and in response to Jesus' question, he says, "I believe, help my unbelief." Too often we think of faith or of not having faith in a binary way. Either we have it or we don't have it, whereas it might be helpful for us to think of it as being on a spectrum, a continuous movement of getting warmer and colder. So in light of that, listen again to Paul's teaching in Romans 10, where he says, "The word is near to you, on your lips and in your heart." Well, the word is Scripture, God's word to us, open, available, accessible. God's word to us is also Jesus himself. In the opening of John's Gospel, we hear, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth." That is, Jesus is the Word, God in human flesh, God incarnate, which means that God is not hiding from us. Quite the contrary, he has come to us in a way that we can see and know and hear and understand. And rather than remaining distant or aloof, he promises always to be near us and continues to invite us to come ever closer into relationship with him. Warmer, warmer. And so for this reason, Paul says, we don't need to ascend up to heaven as if to bring Christ down, colder, colder. We don't need to descend into the abyss as if to bring Christ up, colder, colder. Rather, he is near to you, on your lips and in your heart, warmer, warmer. And the great joy and reward of the search comes when the great discovery we call faith, the kind of faith that restores us into a right relationship again with God. For as Paul writes, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. So coming to faith is entering into a relationship. It's like finding that pearl of great price or that treasure buried in the field. Warmer, warmer becomes hot, hot, hot. And the truth of the gospel is everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, will be brought close, will be brought into relationship, will be welcomed in. But just like in that warmer, colder game, we are not left alone to try and find our way into a relationship with God. That would be an exercise in futility. It would be kind of like saying to a child, I know where something is hidden, but I'm not going to tell you what it is or where it's hidden. No, God has given us and continues to give to us hints and clues and even hint givers to help us in our discovery. And in the passage we've read this morning, Paul uses a series of questions to enlist and encourage us, those who know where the treasure is hidden, to help still others find it, rather to find him, for Jesus is this hidden treasure, this pearl of great price. We read, but how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? For faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the word of Christ. So we who were once seekers now become finders. And once finders, we are called and commissioned to become tellers to still others. Quoting the psalmist, Paul writes, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The Greek word for good news, euangelion. It's the same word that we use for evangelism. You see, once we have found the treasure that is Jesus, then we get the great joy of being good news tellers, just as the children were to all of us this morning. There's great joy in helping to another to discover what we have found for ourselves. We who know the way are blessed to help lead others in the way and to the way. But in doing so, we need to make sure that our guidance and directions are clear and not misleading, that we're actually leading them warmer and warmer, not colder and colder. We don't need to have all the answers to every question a seeker might ask us, but we do need to know with certainty the way to the truth, the one who is the life. Or as one has put it, as messengers, we need to make sure that our mess doesn't mess with the message. Let me say that one more time. As messengers, we need to make sure that our mess doesn't mess with the message. Yet there's one critical aspect that I'll confess where my warmer, colder analogy breaks down. It just doesn't hold true in the life of faith. The children's game is built on the premise that something is hidden and will remain hidden until it is found, almost as if that something desires to remain hidden and not to be found. But that's not true for God. Believe me when I say God is not hiding from us. Rather, he refuses to remain hidden. He desires to be found by each and every one of us. Again, the word is near to you. So you don't have to look very hard. He is hiding in plain sight. And there is still another aspect of my analogy that doesn't quite work. In our seeking after God, we often think it's all up to us as something that we have to do for ourselves. And so in our discovery that we call faith, we say, I found it, or I found God. And while there is a measure of truth to that, it would be more accurate to say that God, in fact, has found us. And in many cases, he is found even by those who aren't looking. Paul quotes the prophet, "Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, 'I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me.'" Friends, God is not playing hide and seek with us, trying to remain hidden and unfindable. Rather, he is actively seeking us in ways beyond our understanding or awareness in order that we might be found by him. Some have spoken of this seeking and finding as being like a double search. Imagine a child with their parents who become separated from their parents while at an amusement park. The child stops at an attraction or casually wanders off and suddenly is separated from their parents. Now, as soon as the parents realize the separation, the search begins. Perhaps even before the child realizes that he or she is lost. The search is desperate. It's frantic. The parents are looking for the child. They start enlisting others to help them in their search. Everything else is put on hold, for this is of great importance. But then once the child realizes their separation, they begin to search as well, seeking to be reunited with their parents, seeking to be found. And then it happens. They see each other through a maze of people and run into each other's arms. The search is over. There is great joy. There's great relief. The search is over, but it begs the question, who found who? You see, both of them were searching for the other, and both were found. It's a double search. And so it is with God and with us. God's not hiding from us. He's not undiscoverable by us. Rather, he is actively seeking us. He too is even enlisting messengers to help in the search. And he will keep searching for us until we are found. Why? Because we are his children. And he loves us. And he will not leave us lost or alone. Friends, whether we feel ourselves to be lost or found, closer or farther, warmer or colder, hear the good news of the gospel. It is this: everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, will be found, will be restored back into a right relationship with a God who has always been very, very near. And that is the good news. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of worship this day. We pray that the truths of which Paul writes and of which we speak might be sealed into our hearts this day, now and always. We pray it through Christ our Lord. Lord, hear our prayer.